My dearly beloved in Christ, I would like to have two parts to the sermon today. The first part is an announcement that I made at Mount St. Michael last Sunday and would like to share with you, and this will take several minutes to explain, and that is that we are in the process, just starting the process of building a new chapel at Mount St. Michael at the rectory. Now, if you've been to the Mount, if you come in behind the building, which is where normally you come in, where the parking lot is, and you kept going past the building, several hundred yards past the Mount is the rectory. And that was actually originally built in 1987 as a convent for the sisters. And we used to, of course, the Mount was a men's residence. We took possession in 1978, and there were priests and brothers. We had boys that were boarding there. We even had some laymen who were single living in rooms at the Mount. So it was a men's domain. But over time, our numbers greatly decreased. In 1989, the bishop moved the seminary from the Mount to Omaha for good reason, because we found that the seminarians were being pulled away to take care of this and that, and were not able to concentrate on their studies in preparation for the priesthood. So the seminary, as I said, was moved in 1989 to the Mount. Also, as brothers were ordained, became priests, they were sent out to different parishes, and sadly, we lost some brothers too who didn't remain. So our numbers were quite decreased, and in 1995, the bishop made a switch with the sisters. We gave the sisters the Mount, and we took over the building that we now call the rectory, that again was built as a convent. They used to have a convent out in Colbert, Washington. Some sisters here at the City of Mary and some in South Hill of Spokane traveling back and forth to the Mount. So it just made sense, with their numbers in particular, to let the sisters have the Mount for their mother house, their main residence. So we have the rectory. Now, when that rectory building was originally designed, there were to be actually four buildings there. It was going to be a cruciform shape, and only one was ever built. So we are building another one of those. We're not going to build the other two. There's no need, but we are building a chapel. We're just in the beginning stages. And this will be a chapel about the size of the seminary chapel here at the City of Mary, and will be connected to the main rectory by a corridor, so that in the wintertime, inclement weather, priests and brothers can just go right into the chapel for their prayers and mass, etc. Also, for those living at the Mount, and really anybody, on occasion, there are masses down at the rectory and the people are able to attend, which the elderly like, because there's no steps at all. The chapel will be on grade, so you don't even have to go up one step to go into the chapel. And at the Mount, even though we have an elevator, you go up and then you still have to mount the last few steps into the chapel or to go up the ramp. And for some of the elderly people, that's not easy to do. So this will be nice for laity as well, but it's primarily being built for the priests and brothers. So that rectory at the Mount is our headquarters. That's where we have our meetings, when we have priest meetings for our congregation. And we just had our general chapter this past summer, and we go into the chapel, which was a temporary chapel, again, built almost 40 years ago, never intended to be a permanent chapel. And it's a little disheartening to go into just a small room that's just part of another room with an accordion door sectioning it off from the main community room. So this has been a need for some time. Obviously, it's going to take money. We would appreciate any donations for this project. But I will primarily be asking the other priests to pitch in from around the country, since that is our generalate, our mother house, the Mount, the rectory at the Mount. But one way that we have for laity to help support this is to sponsor a stained glass window. So if I've engaged the same company that made the beautiful windows we have here in our church to make windows for this new chapel. The 13 of the windows, or 15, 13 of them are 6 feet high, 3 feet wide. They're quite expensive also because of the special frames that go with them. And they're, of course, they're made from scratch by professionals. They're $24,000 per window. Then there's two main windows on the facade, which are of Sacred Heart of Jesus as King and Mary as Queen. And those are a little more, $32,000, because they're larger. They're 6x4. Now, on the windows, the 13 windows of saints, like we have here, the lower portion of the window that you can open for air, what I would call the venting part of the window, we have a plaque in which, right on the window, in which we will inscribe the names of the donors. So a donor for windows. So if someone is financially able to do so and wants to sponsor a window, you could have a notation there. It might say, pray for the family of John and Mary Smith, or in memory of John and Mary Smith, or something of that nature. So that would be right on the window, painted in, baked onto the window, the glass of the window. Now, this was something that was commonly done. I've been in many, many churches over the years in this country and other countries, and you see that very often, the donors that their name is on the window. And that was a reminder for those who use that church and go in to pray for that person, pray for the benefactors who built the church or the chapel by their financial support. Now, for you here, we primarily need your support for our new convent, because we have a debt we're going to have to pay off for the convent. But those who are in position financially to sponsor a window, I wanted to give you that opportunity. Now, there is a flyer. It's like a four-page flyer, because it has a picture of each of the windows and an explanation. So this is in a little box on the vestibule table for those that are interested. So I just wanted to share that with you, and particularly to ask you for your prayers. We say the prayer for vocations every Sunday, to pray for vocations. We need more priests. We need more brothers. We have right now 28 members of our congregation of priests and brothers. We have the bishop, of course, 15 priests, so that makes 16, counting the bishop, 16 priests and 12 brothers. Of those brothers, three have final vows. There are four in temporary vows. There are three novices and two postulants. So altogether, 28 members. And it's certainly encouraging to see, like we just had two new postulants just the 8th of September, just a couple weeks ago. So it's encouraging to see new members, but we need all to please pray for more vocations. All right, so that, I wanted to share that with you. Now, the other part of the sermon is on the fact that Wednesday, we begin the month of October. And as you know, October is the month of the Holy Rosary. And I always think of the words of Our Lady to the children at Fatima, pray at least 5 decades of the rosary every day. So I ask you to ask yourself, do I pray Our Lady's Rosary every day? And if at all possible, to pray it together as a family with the other members of the household, because there's added value to saying prayers as a family. God blesses families that honor him through family prayer. Now, on the back of the bulletin, I mentioned there's the prayer to St. Joseph prescribed by Pope Leo XIII for the month of October. There is also a quotation from Sister Lucia. Now, Lucia was one of the three children to whom Our Lady appeared at Fatima. And in 1956, or 57, I think it was 57, there was a Mexican priest who was in charge of, he was what's called the postulator for the cause of the beatification of Jacinta and Francisco, the other two children to whom Our Lady appeared. And so as a result of his role, he had the opportunity to go to Portugal and interview Sister Lucia. Now, she was in a cloistered Carmelite convent, and not just anybody could go and visit her. But because of his position, he was able to do that. And he had a lengthy interview on December 26, 1957 with her. But the part we printed on the back of the bulletin is what she said about the rosary. And she said something very interesting. She said, God has given to the rosary in our times, that was the 20th century, so 20th and 21st centuries, God has given a greater efficacy to the rosary than it had in the past. The rosary was given to Saint Dominic by Our Lady in the early 1200s. It has been recited in the church for hundreds of years and has always been a wonderful prayer because it contains the two best prayers, the Our Father, taught us by our Lord himself, and the Hail Mary, which is primarily taken from the words of Scripture, the angel Gabriel appearing to Our Lady and the words of Elizabeth. So these two beautiful prayers plus meditation on the mysteries. And so it's been, again, recited for hundreds of years. But Lucia was saying, in our times, because of the evil nature of our times and the many temptations in the world, that there's an added value in our times. And I would say for you to be able to persevere in this age, you need to pray the rosary every day, as Our Lady requested. She even said to the priest, she said, Father, I don't know how it is nor why, but I know that there is no problem that cannot be solved by the recitation of the rosary, whether it's a personal problem, a family issue, in communities, in parishes, in nations. There's no problem that cannot be solved by the devout recitation of the rosary. So especially as we approach the month of October and during October, make a little examination of conscience. Do I pray the rosary as well as I can every day? And not only to pray the rosary, but if at all possible, to pray it together with others in your household. The family that prays together stays together. And you've heard this story before, but after World War II, so this had been about 1946, the communists from Russia took over all of the countries in Eastern Europe, the Eastern Bloc countries, they were called. They all became communist, except for one, and that was Austria, which also borders on Russia. Now, it's true that the troops did go in, the tanks rolled into the cities, but the people turned out in the streets and prayed the rosary. As many as 100,000 people in Vienna, in the capital, turned out in the streets marching, praying the rosary. And the communists simply left. No explanation, and they never would do that. They never have done it, historically. And they left because the people were praying the rosary. So we need to also drive the devil out of our lives through the recitation of the rosary. Let us make certain that we pray the rosary every day, that we pray it devoutly, and if at all possible, families pray together the family rosary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.